This episode of The Takeaway is supported by Stitcher Smart Radio. Now podcast listeners can access the latest episodes of The Takeaway and PRI's other shows while on the go without downloading or syncing with Stitcher Smart Radio. Thousands of popular podcasts and programs are available on demand. Stitcher instantly delivers new episodes of your favorite shows to your mobile phone without syncing or downloading. Stitcher Smart Radio can be found in the iPhone or Android app stores or at stitcher.com/takeaway.
What happens to the U.S. economy after this weekend if there's no debt deal depends very much on who you talk to.
A mainstream economist?
It'll be, I think the word would be bedlam.
That's Mark Zandi over at Moody's. Here's a Republican congressman on Capitol Hill.
We've got plenty of government revenues in the month of August to service our debt. Default isn't even on the table.
That's Joe Walsh, Republican Tea Party lawmaker from Illinois.
As the Congress counts down to doing something considered very foolish, we assess the conventional wisdom on debt, debt ceilings, and credit ratings. Strange bedlam fellows in Washington and Wall Street. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. All our debt ceiling coverage with Todd O'Bedlam from Washington, D.C. in just a moment, Friday, July 29th.
Folks. Are you calling Todd Zwillick Todd O'Bedlam?
This week, he's Todd O'Bedlam.
Well, let's get right to the top of the morning's news, as if that's not the headline. Republican leaders pulled their plan to raise the debt ceiling from the House floor last night. The vote was postponed for a second time. It's because House Speaker John Boehner realized he did not have enough support from conservatives in his party. For Boehner, it's back to the drawing board again.
The bill's not perfect. I never said it was perfect. Nobody in my caucus believes it's perfect.
The House hopes to finally vote on that plan today, even though Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says it has no chance of survival once it reaches the chamber.
No Democrat will vote for a short-term Band-Aid approach that would put our economy at risk and put the nation back in the untenable situation that we are in today, just a few short months from now.
President Obama says unless a deal can be worked out, the government will default on Tuesday.
Disturbing story from Texas. Police there say they have foiled another Fort Hood attack just hours before it was to begin. The Army says an AWOL soldier arrested near the Texas base has admitted he was planning to attack the base. Fort Hood, the largest U.S. military base in the world, is where 13 people died in a mass shooting back in 2009. Police have arrested Nasser Abdo after gun store clerk Greg Ebert became suspicious and contacted police.
It's kind of out of the norm for anybody to show up at a gun shop in a taxi cab. Just, you know, call me oddball.
Oddball. He blew the whistle, though. Police later found weapons, explosives, and an article called How to Make a Bomb in Your Kitchen from an Al-Qaeda magazine in Abdo's motel room. Abdo gained national attention last year when he refused to deploy to Afghanistan, citing his Muslim beliefs. But Army officials say Abdo was more upset about being court-martialed earlier this year for possession of child pornography.
The head of the Libyan rebel armed forces was shot and killed in the de facto rebel capital of Benghazi. General Abdo Yunus was Libya's former interior minister under Muammar Gaddafi until his defection. This rebel leader tells our partner, the BBC, the assassins are believed to be pro-Gaddafi gunmen.
I have to admit that this is a blow to the movement and to the revolution.
Elsewhere in the region, thousands of people yet again packed into Cairo's Tahrir Square this hour, many chanting, God is great. It is the first call for mass protests by Egypt's Islamist leaders. Many of the protesters this morning are calling for the implementation of Sharia law. Meanwhile, massive protests are planned in cities across Syria today, despite an ongoing crackdown there.
The board of British cable company BSkyB votes to keep James Murdoch on as chairman. Police in Norway, meanwhile, will question confessed mass murderer Anders Breivik for a second time today. And President Obama will unveil officially new fuel standards we've been talking about all week long for U.S. automakers this morning. The fleet of American cars and light trucks will have to average 54.5 miles per gallon by the year 2025. Right now, the average is about 28 miles per gallon across the fleet. And a government report this morning is expected to show the economy grew less than 2% in the first half of the year. That's
Ouch.
Too slow to recover losses from the recession and a full percentage point lower than last year's dismal GDP growth. Asian and European markets are down. Futures are down for Wall Street. The Dow gets underway at 12,240. The S&P opens at 1,300. And the NASDAQ opens at 2,371. Gold is sort of stuck around $1,616 an ounce this morning as people wait for what's going on in Washington. Coming up this hour, the recession and unemployment have disproportionately hurt African-American families. So what are ways they can do better economically and find their way to the middle class? An interesting debate over that this morning on The Takeaway. But first, we begin in Washington with D.C. correspondent Todd Zwillick on All the Bedlam.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.